This morning we open the Word of God in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 is our scripture passage, and we find our text in verse 11 of chapter 1. So we read Acts chapter 1, the verses 1 through 11. This is the Word of God. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. The last verse being our text. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ascension Day. This Thursday, brothers and sisters, another one of the Christian feast days. Or is it? Feast day? Is that a day to be celebrated? Would you consider that a day for celebration, the day your most beloved departs? Partir, se mourir un peu, the expression says. Departing is a bit of dying, it means. And how true it is, we know from experience. Would that have been different for the Lord's disciples? After having been together day and night for 3 years, and then a cloud, and he is gone? Still, though it may not look like a feast day, yet it is. Things aren't always the way they look, you know. Ascension Day seems somber, a farewell, a departure. Christmas Day seems joyous, a reception, a birth. Yet considering their meaning, we know it's the other way around. At Christmas, we say that it had to come to this, that God had to send his only Son in order to do the dirty work. At Ascension Day, we may say that it could come to this far again, that he could receive royal power as victor. Exaltation after humiliation. That's worth a feast day. That's worth a festal shout. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God Luke writes at the end of chapter 24, verse 53. How is that possible, beloved, that these disciples don't mourn but rejoice? What's behind this? It's not very common. Indeed, someone is behind this. The Lord Jesus himself. He had prepared them for this moment step by step. Then when the moment has come that he, the light of the world, rises, when the moment comes that a cloud moves between them and him, the Son of Righteousness, he ensures that there will always be a silver lining around his ascension. He departed, but not without assuring them, I will be with you always. He ascends, not just like that, but with his hands blessing over them. He leaves, but not to leave the earth behind. Rather, in his ascension, the history of this earth has progressed, and the work he has done here progresses with him. It is for that purpose that he ascends. Therefore, if you think of Christmas as a joyous feast, then Ascension Day is a day for celebration even more. Indeed, for listen to the message and anticipation expressed by the servants of the Lord Jesus, these two angels. At Christ's ascension, the angels proclaim the gospel of his return. We see the fact of his ascension, the manner of his ascension, and the goal of his ascension. So I summarize the message of our text as follows. At Christ's ascension, the angels proclaim the gospel of his return. We see the fact, the manner, and the goal of his ascension. So first of all, the fact of his ascension. What a special time it must have been, brothers and sisters, these days between the Lord Jesus' resurrection and ascension. While they had thought that they lost him after his death on the cross, he returned on the first day of the week. And with intervals, he came back in order to speak with them, instruct them some more. He led them on the way from Galilee to Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus himself brought them back to the city in which they had to await the promise of the Father, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He is going to involve them in his worldwide work of the kingdom of his Father, he explains. He instructs them concerning the work plan for this kingdom for which the Father has given him all authority in heaven and on earth. As ear and eye witnesses of him, the living and exalted King, they receive from him the course in which the plan is to develop. And then, as they were looking on, they see him raise his arms in the manner of the high priest, giving his farewell blessing, and they see him rise higher and higher until a cloud takes him up and carries him off. What a moment! What an astonishment! And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. They had joined them while they stood there gazing. The apostles had not seen them yet. Still, when they came to themselves, there they were. It means at the same time when God took the Lord Jesus up to himself, he sent two servants to stand with them. Two from the myriad of angels are excluded from the welcome ceremonies in heaven, deprived from the ascension to the throne of the victor Jesus in God's care for the remaining apostles. That's what angels are for anyway, ministering spirits for the sake of those who are to obtain salvation. God sent them and made them available to Christ's church in order to enlighten her concerning the ascension of the Lord. These heavenly heralds proclaim to them the gospel of Christ's ascension, the glad tiding of his coming return. Now, the first thing these angels announce, brothers and sisters, is the fact of Christ's ascension. This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, they say. The disciples could only guess that this was the case. However, the angels removed their uncertainty. He left, but not like at other times to reappear at some other moment or different place. He left to go to heaven. That's important for them to know, these eyewitnesses of his ascension, so that they can pass on this message as well. He ascended into heaven. That's the truth about Jesus, which was confirmed by two witnesses from heaven, so that by the mouth of two witnesses, this word may be established. However, beloved, note well what exactly they have to say. This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven. The focus of the angel's message is on the disciples. They are the point of departure of this ascension. It's their Jesus. He still belongs to them. This Jesus, who died and who was raised from the dead, this Jesus, who was with you for 40 days, this Jesus still is one of you, taken up from you. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you, his apostles, have to know that he is still yours while now he is in heaven. So central in the ascension event, brothers and sisters, is the fact that this Jesus came from them, was taken up from among the apostles, the foundation of the church. Indeed, and that is no wonder, for that's where he had had his work. That's where he had carried out his task. This Jesus was taken up from you, because among you he restored the kingdom of his Father. In your midst he delivered his brothers from the slavery of Satan. This Jesus, who is the second Adam, the Savior of the first Adam, was taken up to heaven. And now he continues his work for you. His work for us too, that is, in heaven. From this Jesus, beloved, his ascension is in line with his work among you. For also the first Adam had been placed on the earth to work towards the day on which he would present the treasures of the earth to his Creator. That was Adam's privileged position. Exalted as he was above the servants, the angels around God's throne. Tremendous treasures the Father had hidden away in creation for man's exploration and discovery and development. After a life of obedient service under God, Adam would have received the crown of righteousness. Well, the first Adam fell short seriously in the execution of this mandate. Now, the second Adam, however, fulfilled his task perfectly. He was faithful in pursuing the work for the kingdom of God. Right from the start, it was this calling in the work of the kingdom of his Father which filled his heart. That's what he came for. namely, to restore God's claim on all people, to fulfill God's justice in the whole world. The first Adam had denied that right, had robbed creation from the Creator, following the great revolutionary Satan. The second Adam, however, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Thus, the second Adam established the kingship of the Father again, so that his kingdom was coming into the world. Till the very last moment, he had spoken with his disciples about this coming kingdom. This Jesus was taken up from them. This second Adam was taken up to God's throne in heaven. This Jesus was taken up from them, leaving his disciples behind with a mandate, with a work plan, with a course of action. Why? Well, because the 11 apostles are not the world yet. Even a following of 120 disciples is not the earth yet. This Jesus, who had come to establish the kingdom of God on earth, had given a mandate which would bring his apostles to the ends of the earth. He had entrusted to them the message, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness." Throughout his ministry, he had instructed them concerning this kingdom, namely, what it would be like, and how it would come, and who could belong. He had shown them that it would come into the whole world, not with violence and force, not by means of earthly weapons and arms, but by his Spirit. Well, this kingdom was called not only the kingdom of God, but also the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, he now was taken up into heaven as its heavenly king, who continues from the throne to govern and rule this kingdom. At the same time, he guaranteed his apostles at the last moment yet that they had to wait in Jerusalem for this gift of the Spirit so that they would be able to pursue their mandate, carry out the work plan in order to reach the ends of the earth for this kingdom of God. You see, beloved, how in the fact of the ascension, the kingdom of God came a step closer again. The victor Jesus, who is its king, king on the throne of David, who has said that his kingdom is not off this earth, indeed, but rather from heaven, he moves on after his victory over the battle with Satan. He established his power, yet his departure in the ascension does not leave his followers behind in order to putter around a bit for as long as it lasts, but rather leaves them behind with a mandate, a plan, by which God's purpose with this world could be accomplished after all. And so we come to our second point, the manner of his ascension. So this meaning behind the fact of the ascension is confirmed even more strongly in the message of the angels, brothers and sisters, when you hear them put the emphasis on the manner of his ascension. When you look closely at the structure of their message, you will discover that they mention the fact of the ascension in a subclause only, while the main point in their message is the manner. Listen, this Jesus, they say, who was taken up from you into heaven, subclause, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This main clause is their actual message. Yes, the main purpose of the angel's appearance is their proclamation of the gospel of Christ's return. This Jesus will return in the same manner they proclaim. Why? Well, as you notice, brothers and sisters, I use the word manner all the time. You see, there are people who think that with the words "in the same way," the angels meant Christ's return in a physical body. Well, indeed, he will return in the same body in which he ascended, no doubt. However, that's not what the angels are speaking about. The angels are speaking about the manner of his ascension as observed by these disciples while they stood there gazing into heaven. And a cloud took him out of their sight. This cloud is in the center. This cloud was not just a curtain which God closed before the disciples could follow him with their eyes, seeing him enter into heaven. No, this word of the angels is in line fully with the Lord's own predictions about his return. Namely, in Luke 21, verse 27, "And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Hence, one of our church fathers said that the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven on his triumphal chariot. Now, what is there so special about this cloud, beloved? Well, we know this cloud from the scriptures very well. This cloud is the symbol of God's active presence among his people in the Old Testament. The Shekhinah, or the Shekinah. It is the cloud of his glory, which filled the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and temple. God had revealed this glory to the prophet Isaiah, to the shepherds in the fields of Ephrathah. How significant indeed this cloud has been in the history of salvation. Yes, already earlier in the life of the Lord Jesus, this cloud had appeared, namely at the Mount of Transfiguration. There, a bright cloud had overshadowed them, we read in Matthew 17. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." At that time, this cloud had come and could have taken the Lord Jesus along, but didn't, because he still had to go the way to Jerusalem, the way via the cross and the resurrection, before he would be received up, as he puts it himself in Luke 9, verse 51. Now, at this time, the cloud did come to take him along. The Father, in his glorious presence, came to take up his own Son, our Savior, by his own hand to bring him into his throne with him. However, as a reminder of the Lord Jesus' own kingdom's instruction, the angels do add, with emphasis, "In the same way, this Jesus will come again. The Son of Man, that is the second Adam, will be seen coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Luke 21. How glorious a gospel this is, beloved. The message by which the angels focus the attention of the disciples on Christ's return. Indeed, the history of God's plan with this world will be completed. Not only in the way man and mankind will bring all the treasures of the earth before God the Father, after all, of which Christ's ascension is the first triumphal entry and fulfillment. However, also in his return on the cloud of God's glorious presence, we see history come to its consummation. Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. We read in Revelation 21, verse 3. In the old dispensation, this future for God's people had been manifested already in tabernacle and temple. Then in the new dispensation, God's presence in the Emmanuel, God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, had come closer than ever. However, now in the angel's message, the apostle's anticipation is focused on that final return of the glorious presence of God as he will descend with Christ to dwell among his people forever. Then this earth, purged as it will be by fire of all that is sinful and corrupt, this earth will be the eternal workplace of God's chosen people, and he will dwell among them. As you know, brothers and sisters, throughout history, there has been a tendency among Christians to shy away from the earth. Life in the world was considered inferior to heavenly life many a time during the history of the church. A wrong view of the ascension of our Lord could strengthen people in that tendency. Namely, when we would interpret his ascension as an escape from this sinful earth. However, beloved, looking at the ascension of our Lord in the context of the whole scriptures and heeding our Lord's own instruction concerning his kingdom, we know that such a trend is false and contrary to God's will. Christ came to conquer the earth for the Father. He dwelt among us in order to reestablish his kingdom here on earth, in order that his people would seek that kingdom here and now in their daily calling. That's what we find in that Old Testament psalm already too, Psalm 47, spread his fame abroad, and his kingdom's girth circles all the earth. Lift your voice and sing glory to our King. He is Lord of earth. Magnify his worth. Number 86 in our Psalter hymnal, which we will sing on Thursday. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Repent, therefore, Peter proclaims in Jerusalem after having received the Spirit from the Father, and turn again that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for establishing, for restoration, all that God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Indeed, beloved, God will make all things new, but that will be all things off the earth, all things on the earth, for he has desired here to dwell with his children in glory. The earth was worth it. After purging the earth, it will still be worth it. Hence, today it is worth it. Especially in this springtime, seeing creation awaken and nature come to life, we are reminded of that future and we receive a foretaste of such glorious life. Yes, already we are citizens of that kingdom. For our commonwealth, our headquarters, our vital statistics are in heaven, and from it we await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. Paul writes in Philippians 3, verse 21. And so we have come to the goal of his ascension. Christ's ascension, brothers and sisters, is the beginning of his return. That's the crux of the message of the angels. He ascended into heaven with the intention to return. Indeed, that's what he will stress to the Apostle John in the last book of the Bible too. Behold, I am coming soon. I am already on my way, he implies. From my throne in heaven, I am working towards the same goal as the one which I have set to my apostles, the ends of the earth. The Lord Jesus, to whom all authority is given in heaven and on earth, will be seen in his work when his apostles will be going out from Jerusalem and Judah and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Yes, beloved, we see that work continue also here in Grace Reformed Church in Dunville and at many, many other places in the world. Today, people dream of the establishing of God's kingdom on earth. Well, in itself, that dream may not be wrong, as long as it does not mean that they expect man to do this establishing. For it is the kingdom of heaven, which is coming by the Spirit of Christ. Of that kingdom, the Father has fixed the times and seasons by his own authority. He knows them, and he has determined them. He also will ensure that the execution of his plan will take place. Time and again, there have been people in history who have set a certain day or month in which this kingdom would be established and on which the Christ would return. How mistaken they were. Now, pray, your kingdom come, the ascended Lord has taught us, and leave the times and seasons up to God. True, we are in the last phase. The beginning of the end is seen in Christ's glorious ascension into heaven. However, during this last phase, there will be times and seasons. There will be times of reformation and deformation, of progress and regress. Yet the goal will be reached. The power and authority of the Lord Jesus is guarantee for that. Therefore, we are to pray, beloved, come, Lord Jesus, yes, come quickly, and we have to work. Ora et labora. The throne of Satan is still standing in the midst of this world, even though its legs had been broken already. Therefore, we are to work as long as it is day, towards the completion of God's kingdom. Under Christ's government with his word and Holy Spirit, we make a beginning of working to the glory of his name in obedience to his will. Yes, the Apostle Paul reminds us in Ephesians 4 that the ascended Lord gave gifts to his church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. Let us then keep our eyes on the goal of Christ's ascension, beloved, and not despise his gifts. Let us have our priorities straight in our pursuits here on earth, also in regard to the work of preaching and teaching. The work of the office bearers in equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Let's not become distracted by all sorts of secondary aspects, for it is by the sound preaching of the gospel and by the faithful teaching in the catechism classes at the homes and in the hospitals that Christ is exercising his power. It is in response to this gospel of the ascension of our Lord that the apostles were to work, completing the number of apostles, rejoicing, continually in the temple, blessing God. Again, Luke 24, verse 53. The whole congregation receives that same word, beloved. Older and younger members receiving the same glorious message. Then with that word, its preaching and teaching, the whole congregation occupies itself the whole day of the Lord, preaching it, teaching one another, parents, their children as well, reminding them, for to you is the promise, and for your children, and for all who are far off. With that word, we send missionaries out to Indonesia, to South America, to Africa, to call those who are far off. With that same word, you are sent home to speak about it together, to instruct one another, to explain it further to your children. This glorious gospel of his return, proclaimed by the angels at Christ's ascension. So then, that begs the question, are we expecting the Lord Jesus on the cloud? The day of the Lord will come for all who dwell on the face of the earth, and every eye will see him. How then will he find us at his coming? Amen.